Ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible say about justification by faith? In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the apostle wrote, "Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." What does the apostle mean by the expression justified by faith? Does the Bible teach the doctrine of justification by faith? Is faith the condition of justification, or does faith cause us to do certain acts that justify? Obviously, there are many great questions involved in the subject. As a beginning point, let us define the word justification. This term is used twice in the letter to the Roman, signifying the establishment of a person as being just by acquittal from guilt. It is that process by which God acquits men of their guilt on the conditions of His grace through Christ and His shed blood, and man's acceptance of Christ by faith. Justification, then, is the legal and formal acquittal from guilt by God, the righteous judge. By the grace of God, the guilty sinner is pronounced righteous. The sacrifice of Christ is accepted on behalf of the sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, a proper understanding of the cross is the best safeguard against all forms of error and false doctrine connected with justification. The sinner must respond to the blood of Christ, that is, to Christ crucified for the sins of the world. Faith is the condition of justification, but it is not an arbitrary condition, one without reason or relevancy. We are concerned here with a spiritual matter. Justification is preeminently a spiritual relationship. Spiritual relationships are established by spiritual means, not by fleshly birth or fleshly means. For example, the Jews were children of Abraham by fleshly birth, but the Romans and Galatian letters taught them that they must become sons of God, or spiritual children of Abraham, by means of a spiritual birth. This is the lesson Jesus taught the noted Pharisee Nicodemus. This great man was relying upon his fleshly birth, his fleshly circumcision and law-keeping to make him righteous. The Apostle Paul himself had once trusted in the works of the law for his justification. Spiritual justification involves faith as a natural, reasonable condition. The power to save is in the blood of Christ. Faith, then, in the sense of trust and reliance, is obviously required. Faith is the natural response to the cross of Christ. It is man's answer to Christ as his sin offering and Savior. The Word of God reveals how that God commendeth us, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Romans 5, 8 and 9. In the fourth chapter of Romans, the Holy Spirit has given us an example of justification in the case of Abraham. The Apostle Paul used this example of justification as an argument against the Jews who taught and practiced salvation by the works of the law. We might call the example of Abraham a test case, which has been left in the record for the benefit of either Jew or Gentile today who may desire justification by faith. In fact, Paul states, "Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom also it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification." Romans 4, 23, 25. My friends, we are concerned here with the principle or law of justification. Paul is not arguing in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was not justified by the law of Moses. If that had been Paul's purpose, he could have simply reminded the Jews that Abraham lived more than 400 years before the law of Moses was given. Rather, Paul was establishing the fact that Abraham was not justified upon the principle of works. Since the law put man under a system of law-keeping, the Jews could not be justified by the law. The Apostle Paul was fighting for a principle of grace that would make room for the atonement of Christ. Only the principle of faith will do this. The principle of works necessarily excludes the grace of God. Hear the words of the Apostle, and I say, are you listening? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. In verse 2, Paul had just said, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God." Beloved, here is a critical point, one which so many fail to comprehend. The great thesis and foundation of Christianity is the blood of Jesus Christ, the procuring cause of man's salvation. All our teaching and practice must harmonize with this fundamental fact. Any doctrine of justification that is not based upon this fact cannot be complete. The doctrine of salvation by works is obviously and naturally incompatible with the teaching of salvation by the blood of Christ. Under the law, the Jews were tied to the principle of works. The Apostle Paul was contending for the principle of justification by faith, apart from the law of Moses and the principle of works. Notice the words of Paul in Romans 3:27. He said, "Where then is the glorying? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by a law of faith. We reckon therefore a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." The Moffat translation of verse 27 reads, "Then what becomes of our boasting? It is ruled out absolutely. On what principle? On the principle of doing deeds? No, on the principle of faith." The principle of works, that is, doing deeds, causes one to glory in himself. If a man can work his way to heaven, if he can merit the approval of God, then he hath whereof to glory of himself. Don't you remember the proud spirit that was characteristic of the Jews in general? Don't you remember the boasting spirit of the Pharisee who stood and prayed and reminded God of all the deeds he had done? Instead of feeling the need of mercy, he glorified in his supposed righteousness. Hear the words of Paul concerning Abraham when he said, "But if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God." Romans 4, verse 2. It must be understood, however, that justification by faith does not exclude works. In fact, the Apostle James declares that was not man justified by faith, and that he proved his faith by his works. And he made the declaration that faith without works is dead. Faith alone is barren. The obedience of faith is the manifestation of works. Works is the true manifestation of faith, James declares, and he uses Abraham as an example. Ladies and gentlemen, notice the contrast between the haughty spirit of the Pharisee and the humility of the publican who prayed. In Luke 18:13, it is recorded, "But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus declared that this man went down to his house justified more than the Pharisee. The publican may have had many things in his life that were good. Surely he, too, could have boasted of some good deeds. Yet, instead, he realized his own unworthiness before God and pleaded for mercy. You and I are not ready to be saved by grace through faith until we are truly convicted of our sins and our unworthiness. And so it was with Abraham. He was justified upon the principle that excluded boasting and works of human righteousness. Abraham was justified upon the principle of faith. He trusted God and relied upon God. He obeyed God. By faith, his faith became so prominent as exemplified in other parts of the Bible. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith of Abraham is given as an example. Having completed his obedience unto God, as you read the record in the 22nd chapter of Genesis and verse 12, having placed his son upon the altar, ready to take his life, God then said, "Now I know that thou fearest God." Now, God was saying, "I know you really believe." Beloved, faith always gives God the glory. Faith looks to God and not to man. Faith is a confession of human weakness and an acknowledgement of divine power. We truly believe when we stop depending on ourselves and completely rely upon God and His Son and put our trust in His Word. That could hardly be a greater faith than Abraham exercised on this occasion, to which reference has been made, especially in Genesis chapter 22. In that he offered up his only son Isaac, there was no greater demonstration of his faith in God. For Abraham to believe that God would give him a son when Sarah was barren and his own body, now good as dead, the Bible says, he had to believe in a God who giveth life to the dead, the Bible says. Here then is justifying faith, a faith that trusts in God and glorifies God. Where man is in need, God is abounding. Man is weak, God is omnipotent. Man is ignorant, God is all-wise. Man is dead in his sins, God has life eternal to bestow. Man is condemned, God is full of mercy. Man is lost, God sent a Savior. God does not stand in need of what man can do. He is not served by men's hands as though he needed anything, as you read in Acts 17:25. If poor, finite man is capable of doing anything perfectly, it would be to believe, to trust entirely in God. There is nothing more becoming to a man. There is nothing more needful or natural than believing in his Creator and the Savior. Furthermore, just as nothing honors God more than faith in Him and in His Word and in His Son, so it is that nothing furnishes access to His blessings more than trust and reliance upon Him and His promises. By his faith, Abraham was justified. And as Paul tells us in the text, by faith we have had our access into this grace wherein we stand. Our faith, complete trust and dependence, is the proper response to the lost soul to the cross of Christ. We are simply acknowledging that the blood can do what God ordained it to do. And in addition, it is the personal acceptance of the merits of Christ and His blood. Sinful man can do no greater thing. He can bestow no greater honor to God than to accept the Son of God set forth by His grace. In contrast, the greatest offense against God is the failure to believe in God and His only begotten Son, to believe in the Word of God. The Bible reveals, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3, verse 16. Thus, in this great epistle to the Romans, Paul demonstrates to both Jews and Gentiles that they must be saved upon the principle of faith, not of works. Men have always found this difficult to learn. We are slow to surrender the idea of human merit and achievement. We desire glory for ourselves, as the Pharisee did. We like to present God and the church with our resume of our accomplishments. Even the Jews who accepted Christ were constantly in danger of falling from grace by going back to the principle of works. These Christians, like many today, fell from grace not by living ungodly lives, but by attempting to be justified upon the principle of the works of the law, as you read especially in the Galatian letter. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, Paul explained, "But if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? The fact that we are saved by grace through faith does not mean, however, that there are no conditions of salvation. The commands of the gospel, repentance and confession of Christ, being baptized into Christ, all are embodied in saving faith. These actions have no significance apart from faith. Repentance and confession and baptism are simply expressions of faith, or faith in operation. A fullness of faith which involves trust in and complete reliance upon the sin offering of Christ. We submit to Christ's authority as King of Kings, but in addition to that, we must accept Christ crucified. He is our King and our personal Savior. Hear the words of Paul in Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, when he wrote, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Yes, it was the Apostle Paul who wrote to the Romans in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and declared, "Thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching, then being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Salvation is by faith. Justification is by faith, but by faith that obeys.